since I've ruined the intro. It's been a while since I've ruined the intro.
Oh, this one's getting me hyped.
Actually, this is a pretty good intro. I still ruined it, though.
I didn't even want to talk. Good. Get me all ramped up. Oh, yeah. Okay. All right.
I was looking for an important text message, but I can't find it.
This one is called Number 221.
I'd agree.
By Technoax.
Is it by Blink 182?
No,
January 25th.
Okay.
So everybody look forward to that episode on that day. I won't tell you what it's about, but it's going to be on January 25th.
Good.
Internet, coming at you live and direct, kind of, because you're going to listen to this in the future, so it's not direct at all. Live and as indirect as I can possibly be from the Devil's Bench at 426 Colburn Street East, Brantford, Ontario. In the vast expanse, the frigid wasteland of
Canada.
Do you get that reference? Jim Carrey stand-up routine?
I didn't watch it.
Canada.
It's
where my friend Nantuck and I.
It's good routine.
I'm pretty bad for, like, I get mad when I send people stuff and they don't look at it or read it. But when people send me stuff, I don't look at it or read it.
The ways that you can get a hold of us are as follows. Find us online at devilsbench.com or on Facebook, /TheBenchCast/TheDevilsBench. Not on Twitter anymore, not on Instagram anymore. And if you want to find either one of us individually, the ways in which you may be able to do that are dwindling, my friends.
Bring me a pizza to the Devil's Bench on Wednesday nights, and I will eat said pizza, and you can ask me whatever questions you have then. Like, hey, how's that pizza? I'll be like, man, pretty good.
Nice. I kind of feel like we could just, like, end it right there. That was good.
They're like, why is this episode only a minute and a half long? Because that's all that's worth listening to.
First one in the new year, 2017.
You know what I'm really excited about 2016 being over?
What's that?
I don't have to listen wishing about 2016 being over.
Here's the thing. As we get older and the information age becomes more and more pervasive, we're going to know about more and more fake celebrities dying. That's just what's going to happen, and we're going to be exposed to more and more of it. That's going to happen, so don't, you know, persuade yourself to think that 2017 is going to be worse than 2016 when the kill count reaches that by March, okay? It's just what it is.
I don't know if it's necessarily, like, I mean, what the people were complaining about. Like, it usually comes out anytime there's, like, a celebrity passing away or something like that, but it's just like, oh, man, 2016 was the worst. Well, what did you do to make it better? Like, was it the worst for you, or is it just, like, that weird BuzzFeed language where
you just reminded
this
me of
grilled
something.
Cheese sandwich recipe is everything. Is it everything? Is it a shoebox? Is it a roof? You know, like, oh, 2016 was the worst. I hope 2017's better. Well, what are you going to do to make it better? It's like me saying, oh, man, I can't believe, I'm so glad 2016's over so I don't have to be fat anymore, but I'm still going to eat, like, fucking chicken wings for breakfast and not work out. Oh, man, 2017 was the worst, too.
Yeah. I don't know why this just popped into my brain, but when you said grilled cheese, okay, this is why.
I wondered what was the word that made you go off.
Okay, so this is why it happened, because grilled cheese, I used to eat grilled cheese at night. It was like one of my favorite things to make at 11:30.
That is completely understandable.
Okay, so I have found the new thing to make at night. It requires 100% more effort than a grilled cheese, but I promise it's worth it.
Two grilled cheeses.
A complete breakfast. I'm not talking about bagged McCain hash browns. I mean, chop up some potatoes and onions, garlic, the rest of it. All that, meat, eggs, juice, all of it, 11 o'clock. Dude, I've been doing it every night after JITS. And because I have, like, you can't eat too much before the class or else you throw up. So I have, like, a dinner's worth of food to eat. It's the best thing ever.
That'd be a good way to cut weight. You just eat like really high calorie foods before you go to jujitsu, get it all punched out of you, and then you can go home and eat like kale sausages for dinner.
Kale sausages. That's gross.
Just look like green logs of poop.
That's exactly what it would look like. It'd look like goose poop.
Oh, yeah.
That's exactly what it would look like.
Yeah.
Just big, huge ones, like dinosaur geese.
Dinosaur goose poop.
And we're back.
And we're back. You missed this, didn't you?
So this is what we're going to do, Internet, is we're just going to do like a what's new. What have we been doing for the last kind of 3 or 4 weeks-ish kind of thing. We just had like back-to-back Christmas parties and blah-de-blah-de-blah life over the holidays.
Yeah.
As you grow up, it seems to get a little bit busier every single year. So I have three things to bring to the table. One of them is only going to take me 2 or 3 minutes. How many do you have? And then you can decide.
46.
Okay, so I'll start.
Okay.
This is the quick one. The Division was the best game I played in 2016. And there is a strong, strong possibility that it could crest over Fallout 3 for me.
Oh, really?
Could. Yeah.
Now, other than it showing up on your Steam name while you're playing, I know nothing about The Division.
Okay. It's
someone lumped it into a category of games that think they're great because big open world with nothing really to fill it out. But they didn't mention it specifically so much as just say X, Y, Z, The Division, A, B, C.
Okay. So Fallout 3 is the best game that was ever made.
Okay.
It's going to be very difficult to beat that.
Yeah.
The Division has, first of all, Fallout 3 and most post-apocalyptic games take place after the event.
Okay.
Whether it's like just after or whatever. This is during.
Okay.
And the during is, no spoilers, this is just the hook, is it takes place during a pandemic that
is... Is it like Pandemic?
What?
The game Pandemic? Is it like that?
Yeah, kind of.
Oh, okay.
It is, it's called the dollar flu, and it's basically like a smallpox virus that was spread as a weapon on Black Friday on dollar bills.
Oh, Jesus.
And it has the most immersive world I've ever played in. And alongside that, the sound design is exquisite.
Oh, okay.
So... a couple things, like to give you some examples of the world. For example, you come upon, it's like in New York City, and there is clutter everywhere. You come upon a car, and the car has like the doors have been left open by whoever evacuated that car. When you take cover behind the car, if you move alongside those doors, no matter how just open they are, the door closes. That little tiny thing, if it's snowing, snow accumulates on your backpack. If you
those fine touches.
If you melee a car that that has snow on it, the snow falls off. Man, once I started noticing all these little tiny things, I came upon a guy in like this office building who had obviously taken his own life, and on his desk was an empty bottle of liquor and a family photo with all of the family's faces X'd out. And I was like, that's dark. That's dark.
Correct me if I'm wrong. It's a Tom Clancy game?
Yeah.
So when I pictured what it was just strictly based on its name, I pictured it was like one of those like tactical squad-based shooter things. Is that basically what it is?
No.
Or is it more like you are the character a la
It's actually an MMO.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and...
like online
yep.
with people?
Yep. Okay. And there's a big area where it's PvP, and I'm too afraid to go in there. like another example of the immersion I'm talking about was through the sound design. So I'm creeping along under this apartment building, and I can hear this like almost like the muffled, you know, like kind of talking like this.
Yeah.
Like it's from behind a door or something. A little kid and a woman talking, talking, talking. And I approach the open window. I can hear this woman start to go shh, shh, shh. And the little kid is just going, why? Why? Who's outside? Why? And she's just trying to shut this kid up. And then she starts crying, trying to silence this kid. And I'm like, oh, this is... And like, I'm not here to hurt you. This is real. It feels so real. It it touches that part of my brain where I'm like, this is what a pandemic could look like. Mm. This is what it could look like at the end of the day. I don't want to say too much about the game without like giving too much of it away. I picked it up for $30, I think.
Okay.
I would have paid full price.
And what is full price?
Whatever it is, I don't care.
Oh, okay.
Yep. In the same regard as like the new South Park coming out, don't care what it costs, I'm buying it for full price. Knowing what I know about that game now, if they came out with a sequel, buying it.
Oh, okay.
I hope I just don't get Fallout 4'd.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing with me is that I have so many games in my library that I haven't even touched yet that I've just been adding stuff to my wish list and waiting for it to go on sale.
Yeah.
So, well, and it's funny, I finally picked up XCOM 2. I got it when it was 50% off, so I got it at $39. Absolutely worth $39. I don't think I would have paid 90 for it.
Yeah.
Not because the game's like it's worth 40, not worth 90. I don't think any game's worth 90.
Yeah.
You know, the only game that I'm going to pay $90 for, which is hilarious because it makes me an absolute hypocrite, is when Final Fantasy VII remake of a game that already exists comes out. If that's $90, I'm paying it. It's like, oh yeah, I'm going to pay triple what I bought the old game for to play it again with graphics updates. But XCOM 2 has been great. Like it's similar enough that it's not like, here's a whole bunch of new shit just so we can say there's new shit in it.
Yeah.
But it's not like, here's the exact same game with a couple different maps. If you like regular XCOM, I mean, yeah, wait for it to go on sale, of course. It's going to. Now, it's like once a game starts going on sale, it's going to be on every Steam sale for that sale price.
Yeah, yeah.
So, the soldier. Is it like a neat different turnaround? So instead of like you're playing defense on the aliens to repel their invasion, the aliens have already come and they've basically like taken over in a way, like covertly taken over. So now you're on the run and you need to recapture Earth back from what they call Advent. So it's a good little spin on it. So it's not just, and here's the same thing in a different way. It's different. The combat's similar enough that you'll pick it up immediately. It's still like the cover idea and everything like that. You can modify your weapons now where you couldn't necessarily before, at least not in the same way. Modify your soldiers in a different way.
Cool.
And the story's different. So, and the nice thing is that you're not always on one of 15 maps.
Yeah.
It's actually supposedly procedurally generated. I haven't like looked into it, but someone told me, and when I play it, it stands up to that.
Yeah.
Could just be that I haven't played enough missions, but I made everybody in DB a character and Iron Man moded it.
Yeah.
And I had to stop doing
that. You're too attached.
I think I've played over like the first 3 months of story 700 times because it'd be like, you know, Jesse would be on his way up to the top of the building and then all of a sudden like he'd miss an 85% chance to hit and then he'd get critted from across the map and then he's dead. And it's just like, all right, let's restart this over again. Yes, I understand what the engineering facility does. You don't need to re-explain it to me.
XCOM feels a lot like miniature wargaming.
You know what you should do? You'll be able to pick it up for $5. Pick up the original XCOM UFO Defense, the original one by Microprose from like 1992 or 1994. The XCOM UFO Defense, there was like a couple sequels that didn't really live up to it. It's old school PS1 style graphics. A little clunky just because it's from 1992. That is my number one game of all time.
Yeah.
And I mean, I appreciate what they've done. They've made it smoother and it's nicer now. It's the same idea, but it's a different game altogether.
Yeah.
Nothing will match the original XCOM for me.
Let me tell you something else I've been getting into over the holidays. This has the lamest name ever, but I found a subreddit called Manprovement.
Okay. Oh, I remember you telling me about that.
Yeah, so it's the worst.
It is a super lame name.
It's the worst.
That's almost as bad as the vegetable-based Pokemon card game that Curly and I were talking about today, and I called it Lunch Buddies.
I'm sorry, what?
Curly and I are coming up with a...
Oh, this isn't a thing?
Yeah, we're making it
okay,
up.
Okay.
It's like a food group-based Magic the Gathering card game. It's called Lunch Buddies.
Yeah.
And if you rip that off, I'm going to come to your house and fucking kill you, because that's my idea.
Okay, good
That's
luck.
My lunch ticket.
So,
try to man-prove that idea, Bill.
So here's the thing. I watched a... first of all, I finally got my restricted firearms license in the mail. Finally. It's like 7 months.
I was going to say, that's almost like a marriage license.
Oh, man. So I was finally able to bring home everything that I had registered to my dad and had to keep there because I didn't have the license to register it. And so blah, blah, blah. Kept it all home. And now I'm like obsessed with AR-15 videos and like holster qualification videos and all this kind of stuff. And so there's this YouTuber by the name of Nut and Fancy. And he does a lot of gear reviews, knife reviews, gun reviews. But he also does like philosophy videos. That guy's where I first heard of the sheepdog concept.
Mm.
And he does like all kinds of concealed carry philosophy videos. Anyways, he's got one called A Damn Good Joe. And the whole idea, it's like an hour long where he talks about what it takes to be known, I'll say, as a good man. Not a good person, a good man. And it just, I think I was like making breakfast or something like that. And like it just, you know how every once in a while you hear something like that or like a podcast or something, you're like, I got to stop what I'm doing and listen to this when it matters.
That's like when I hear the Friends theme song. Yeah. I have to stop and wait for the, yeah. That's so sad that you were with me on that.
Oh, and I knew exactly where you were going.
Oh, we've been friends for too long.
Yeah, that's it. It's a wrap. So anyways, he goes on to say about things like integrity and honesty and, you know, that thing that I've been calling keeping the fire lit and just being, you know, a good dude and about how are you going to be remembered and that kind of thing. And it got me looking up like other thinkers and other writers and just other thinkers, I guess, on the ideas of traits or qualities of good men and how can you improve your standing, I guess. Not necessarily in comparison to anybody, I don't think.
Just against your own measuring stick?
Yeah, just like kind of aligning your moral compass and making sure that you're on the path, I guess. Whatever the heck that means to you.
Yeah.
And man, there's some really good stuff out there. Of course, like a lot of the more modern articles and notes and thinkers out there are talking about guys like Jocko Willink and Tim Ferriss. And Jocko just put out this audiobook I was telling you about where it's like just little 4-minute blurbs of him telling you to be better. And like his producer for his podcast, I don't know what the guy's name is. He calls him Echo Charles. And he makes these, like, he'll cut a piece of the normal Jocko podcast out where Jocko is talking about, like, some specific thing, like getting after it or being a better person, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And then he sets it to music that's like, dun-dun-dun, dun-dun-dun, dun-dun-dun. That's Led Zeppelin, isn't it? It totally is.
Yeah, Kashmir.
Yeah, now that's in my brain. And they release these, like, 4-minute little motivational things. And man, it just gets me so fired up. And it's just been like I'm kind of shifting from a more general or overarching, like fitness focused or dietary focused or just like positivity focused thing to a more like abhorrently masculine. Like there's no better way to put it. When a guy like Jocko, his chin could beat me up. Is telling you about like that you have to be honest and you have to do all these different things. It just gets me fired up, man. It puts the right kind of frame of mind in you.
It's funny because like I want to listen to stuff like that and be jacked up by it. But the problem is it because like the internet's made me such a fucking cynic that I listen to that. And I'm like, who the fuck are you?
Yeah.
You know, it's like when someone writes something that's like meant to be inspirational and not necessarily just to pump up their own tires and be like, and I read that, I'm like, oh yeah, look at you trying to make yourself look all fucking good. You know what I mean? And it's like the internet has killed my childhood childlike wonder, and it's just made me think that everything's bullshit.
Well, because dude, like how many Instagram accounts are dedicated to motivational quotes?
Well,
and like how many people like, you know, on New Year's. On New Year's, they post the big thing about, like, this is your year. I'm going to do this. I get it. And I post the same stuff every once in a while, DB Fitness or something like that. I get it.
Well, and that's the thing is that, I mean, the reason why those reminders and everything are like that are good is because, yeah, they do work sometimes.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't, maybe if they worked on me, I'd be a better person. But I don't know. Every now and then I'm in a bad mood and I see something like that. And it's like, what are you trying to... like make yourself look so great.
Your inner Bill Burr comes out.
Yeah, exactly. go fuck yourself. You know, well, and the funny thing is too, is so I just eventually, I decided that I didn't want to keep up the effort of like having a Facebook account anymore.
I don't know if you want to talk about this. I can't wait to talk about this.
I know. No, I just got tired of it. And like to go back to seasons ago on the Benchcast, when you know you talked about the metaphor of the bucket, right? So everyone walks around with a little bucket with a pail of water. For anyone who's not familiar, everyone's walking around with a bucket, and you start your day with X amount of water in it. And there are people out there who will take water from their bucket and attempt to fill up your bucket. And then there's other people who will attempt to take water from your bucket to fill their own up with.
Yeah.
And it doesn't necessarily have to be a person who's pumping you up or taking you down. It could just be a representation of your daily energy, right? You only have so much water in your bucket to give to other things. And I just found that, you know, and I'm sure many people would agree that Facebook became like an addiction for me. I would be lying awake in bed because I wasn't ready to go to sleep yet.
Yeah.
Whether I'm tired or not, I'm just not ready to be like for my day to be over.
Sure.
So I'd be lying in bed with my wife asleep beside me, my dog asleep at my feet, and just sitting there scrolling through, you know, ads and people's opinions and people's arguments or, you know, rants and stuff like that. And I mean, that's what I do on the podcast. So. I mean, I can't really knock anybody for doing that. That's what the platform's there for.
Yeah.
But it just didn't really add anything to my bucket anymore. And it wasn't net neutral. It got to a point where I was feeling compelled to always check my Facebook. And, you know, and then I needed to write posts to you guys to see what you're up to. Or I say something and I'd wait to see if anybody replied. I have to check back and see if anybody replied. And it's just like... the majority of the interactions I had on Facebook were only, they were because they were, you know what I mean? There wasn't an end to any of them. It's just because I have the method to do this, so I'll do it. And I just said, you know what? I just don't need this anymore. I have all your guys' cell phone numbers. There's nobody I talk to on Facebook that I don't have already somewhere else.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's pull the plug and see what happens. And it's crazy, man.
How long ago was that?
2 weeks.
Okay.
Really?
That's it?
Yeah. The first day, because I think it was a weekend or something, I pulled my phone out about 15 times and just stared at my phone like I was looking for something. And it's because I was bored.
Interesting.
Or I wasn't engaged in anything. Like, it's funny, you know, because have you ever felt bored, but you had a ton of shit to do?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it's just like, because the thing is that you can check Facebook for 45 seconds. Do I have any messages? Oh, I do. Who said something? Oh, okay. I'll get back to that later. Or you can go on Facebook for half an hour. You never accomplish it. You accomplish the same amount of stuff, whether it's 45 minutes or 45 seconds. But that's the thing is that... it's such a malleable use of your time that no matter how much time you have enough time to waste it on Facebook.
Yeah.
And I just got rid of it. And it's not like all of a sudden I dropped 15 pounds, I've learned Portuguese and carved a statue in my backyard. I've filled it by scrolling over, like swiping right on my phone and reading like the news that's in there. It's just because it's like when I'm idling, I can't just idle. You know, I was listening to the Joe Rogan podcast. He was talking, it was the one with James Hetfield on it.
Yeah, yeah.
He was talking about how his kids would listen to vinyl and they'd lie on the floor and just listen to the record. Yeah, but if I were to do that, I'd have my phone in one hand and a book in the other. You know,
yeah.
It's like I have to do four things at once. And I think I kind of like kicked the habit a little bit where I'm not looking for it anymore because it's not muscle memory anymore.
But yeah.
Other than planning New Year's with you guys, because, you know, you create a group, here's all the details, you don't feel the need to message one person in particular with the details because it's all there in the group, right?
Yeah.
That's the only thing I feel like I've really missed it for. But other than that, like, we all have each other's cell phone numbers. That's about it. But I don't get those little things that filter in that just make you not feel good. You know what I mean? Whether it's a, because Facebook news was always bullshit, where it was always depressing, like 8 people killed in a car accident in northern BC. And it's just like, why is that news on Facebook?
Yeah.
To a dude who is in Ontario, mm-hmm, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't need to see that. It would make sense if it happened in my town and, you know, maybe it's somebody I know, or maybe the road shut down and I got to take a new way home tonight. But it's just like, I don't want to hear about people's tragedy all the time. And people are more likely to post on Facebook about negative things or about braggadocious type things. It's just what the platform's for.
Yeah.
And if it's neither one of those things, it's just net neutral. Well, I wasn't adding anything. I wasn't adding anything to anybody's life by being on there. And it's just I'd go on there and I could just feel the life or energy draining for me or the anxiety in me building.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why do I need this? Because you need it now. You know what I mean? It's not like a Sega Genesis. That'd be like, it's like, you know, most of your news comes from putting a news cartridge into your Sega Genesis.
Yeah.
Or all of your social interactions, got to go on Sega Genesis. Or what time is this store open until? We don't have a website. We have a Facebook page. There's no websites anymore for certain places. They all have a Facebook page.
Especially small businesses, right?
Yeah. And it's just one of those things that's like, oh, well, I guess I don't get to know about those things anymore. Because if I was going to use them, I wouldn't need the Facebook page to learn about them.
Yeah.
And would I say my life is different? I mean, I feel a little bit different because I don't have those little affronts coming in anymore.
Yeah.
But I just wasn't using it anyway. I just held on to it because I felt like I had to have it.
And you see, that feeling alone, that specific feeling.
It was an addiction.
Yeah. Like I feel anxious thinking about getting rid of Facebook.
Oh, and I did too. And that's the thing too. I'm not like one of, you know how you'll see. Not so much anymore. Maybe it was just the people I got, like that I had. Because I only had like 17 people on my list. And I know all those people in person.
Yeah.
So, you know, you'd see, especially when we were younger, it'd be like, that's it. I'm done with Facebook. And they post this big like exit announcement. And that's not the thing that I'm doing here. But it's just like, you know, that was my reason for it and how it made me feel,
sure,
right?
Sure, yeah, yeah.
And it wasn't, yeah, it was just like, it wasn't adding anything, but when you really get down to it, it was taking. It was taking things from me. Just like how, you know, when Robbie was doing his podcast, he'd mention Reddit. You know, like his thing was, is he needs to go to bed. He promises himself he'll go to bed earlier. Before midnight, I'm going to be in bed. And then at 11:30, he's like, I got a half hour. Goes on Reddit. Next thing you know, it's 1:45, right?
Yeah.
But he didn't do anything.
Yeah,
spent an hour and 45 minutes, but you didn't do anything, right?
I've been thinking about that, too, specifically about Reddit, because we had a conversation just about, like, edutainment and trying to find worth and meaning in your time.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things I think I'm going to do is just a matter of time, unfortunately, for me to organize this,
mm-hmm,
is all my browsers are synced across all my different devices, right? So my bookmark bar is the same on every device that I use.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got the second last one on my browser is just for Reddit, and it just drops me into my front page. So if I'm logged in, it drops me into my multi-Reddit of every subreddit I'm subscribed to. I think what I'm going to do is create a number of different multi-Reddits, like one for RPGs, like game design and world building, one for miniatures, one for guns, mm-hmm, one for all the different things that I'm into, and then like click on the one I want to read about instead of, because the other problem too is like I find there are threads on Reddit that the monkey part of my brain clicks on that I have no business reading.
Mm-hmm.
I have no business reading about, you know, sick kids and death and horrible things.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, there's worth in that because it keeps my...
Keeps you grounded,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, keeps my perspective real.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's some stuff where it's like paramedics of Reddit, what's the worst thing you've ever seen?
Mm-hmm. Like, and it's just like gore porn, basically.
Yeah, and I'm like, I don't need to know about this. I don't need to know. You see, like, you partially do, but you partially don't. You know what I mean?
And I've said before on here, like, you know, whenever there's like a tragedy or something like that, I tend to force myself to read it. But if my first instinct is I don't want to read about that, I force myself to read about it because it's like...
That's real life.
It's real, and it helps to break some of that insulation. But then at the same time, on the like the opposite of insulation, do you always need to be connected globally? You know, do I need to care what some dude I've never met, will never know, from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Is Tulsa in Oklahoma? I have no idea. But
sure is.
What his opinions on goldfish tanks are, or, you know, what are my other hobbies? Or like reading some, I sent you something last night I was reading, and it was like, I was looking for a recipe. I was looking for like what to do with X,
yeah.
Right? And then you search on Google, and like the first 15 results are just absolute bullshit. One, either have nothing to do with what you're talking about, or it's just some dipshit's blog. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's coming from a dipshit with a podcast. Like, I recognize that that's just some dude because I'm just some dude.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and it's like, maybe it's because there's no, you know, trusted source to talk about whatever or anything like that. But it's like, I was looking up something. I can't remember what the source I was looking for, but I sent you this thing, and it was like some paleo blog, and
yeah.
Every other word was misspelled. And it's like, that's one of the top like results on Google, like really? And it had been viewed X number of times. And it's just like, I don't know. Like, the internet is so bogged down with just absolute bullshit. But it everything is on the internet now. Like, they don't make encyclopedias the way they used to because they're not the needed thing anymore. So
yeah.
It's easy to do it online. I get all that. I get why small businesses have Facebook pages instead of websites, because anyone can make a Facebook page.
Yeah.
And more people are going to go to your Facebook page and interact with you than they are going to get from your website by navigating themselves.
Totally.
I get that. They don't have to cater to me. But I just find that what I use the internet for, it's no longer doing for me. And maybe my needs on the internet have changed as I've, you know, as I've changed. But I find that if the internet is tailored a certain way.
Yeah.
And I'm just finding the way that I need it tailored for me as me is slowly drifting away from how it is tailored.
Yeah, you know what? I kind of hear you, because this just popped into my mind, like something I haven't really consolidated or like placed into a mental bin yet, but mm-hmm. something that's been up there floating around.
Mm-hmm.
I'm tired of being trolled on the internet. And that's coming from like a very honest place.
Mm-hmm.
Like sometimes I'll post something on Reddit, like an actual question.
Yeah.
Right? Like an R sysadmin. I'll be like, hey, I'm dealing with this on this particular server. I've never encountered this before. And then the first response
is... Oh, did you try turning it off and on again?
If you've never encountered this before, you shouldn't be an R sysadmin.
Yeah.
And I'm like...
That's why I hate Reddit, because that's the exact type of... exact type of response I'd expect and I've experienced from Reddit. It's like, hey, guys, I have a question about da-da-da-da. You know, you try to be friendly and you try to find rapport. Oh, I'm dealing with this thing. It may be buried in the pages already. I didn't see it on the first page of results.
Yeah.
So I apologize if I'm reposting, but does anyone know X, Y, Z? I mean, that's already been discussed at length here. Okay. So you felt the need to type 17 words in which you could have answered my question to tell me that it's already been discussed at length on these boards, despite the fact that me saying, unless I do like a 2-year database search on here, like I'm just trying to, the subreddit's dead. No one's posted in the last 3 weeks. And it's just like, what do I need this for? I
mean,
I can get, you know, like we spent our whole lives in public school and high school getting that type of attitude when you tried to fit in.
Yeah.
Why do I need to go find it? You had to go to school when you were a kid. It's not like you went to school just to get made fun of, but it's like, why am I going online? I'm trying to engage with people because that's what the internet's all about, is a connectivity and gabba-dee. And it's
gabba-dee.
Like, so I go here and I'm like, hey, you guys are here on this specific subreddit because you specifically like planet aquariums, let's say. That's very niche. How many people are jacked about aquariums, but specifically planted ones? I'm one of you. Hey, guys, I did my best as a new person here to make sure I'm not upsetting anybody's moral superiority. I have a question. Then they're just like, fuck you. And it's like, why do I do this to myself? Because it actually makes you, even just for a little period of time, but that feeling of like inadequacy.
Oh, yeah. That's
is
real.
Real.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just like, hey, I'm dealing with this system and thing, da, da, da. and someone decided to take the time through their daily skim to be like, posturing up on you, bro. Fuck you. You know what I mean? Like, that's so unnecessary.
Now, on the opposite side of that spectrum, the internet is great for the following. Santa Claus brought my son a little Duplo Lego train set. And in the time it took me to set that train set up and make the train go around the track, I went from this is really cool to I want to do this in my entire basement.
Absolutely.
And I like just went on the internet and binged on model railroading stuff so I could get it out of my system and not actually buy anything.
Mm-hmm.
Until I found the World War II specific ones that are like a Jeep convoy, or it's like taking tank parts. And it like they actually smoke out the top of the train thing. I see. I don't know what the technical terms are. Give me 6 weeks, and I'll know everything about them.
Are you ready? I'm going to give you an example, and I want you to tell me what the similarity is.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to build a sump for my aquarium. So I pump water out of my aquarium into this old plastic flower box. Joey Mullins. Thing on his video, the dude we had on our podcast.
Yep.
And it's a wicked idea. You can grow like flowers in the top and it helps filter your aquarium. It's just cool to make it, right?
Yeah.
Like get to play around. I'm looking everywhere for a fucking little bulkhead. He's like, I got this on Amazon for 50 cents. And it's like, so I'm like, okay, well, you know what? I don't want to wait for ship. Like, I don't want to order a 50 cent part because it's not going to be sold by Amazon. It's going to be sold by like Joe and Bill's Fish Tank Emporium. And then you're going to have to pay the $37 in shipping for the 50 cent piece. So I go to Home Hardware. I go to Home Depot. I go to Lowe's. And either everyone's an asshole or they just don't have it. You know, they just don't have it. I don't know anything about plumbing. I thought it would be a little more standard.
Yeah.
Apparently it isn't. They just don't have it. That's fine. So I go to Lowe's, and this is the third place. And I'm on like hour three of my afternoon. It's a mission. My mission for my vacation was build this goddamn pump. All I need is this part. I have everything else.
Yeah.
So I go to Lowe's, and you know where it has like the little ding dong, customer service needed in the plumbing department.
Yeah.
And then until someone comes, it does the big bong customer service for like the next forever.
Guy
walks down the aisle. I'm a chubby dude in a charcoal gray shirt with a puzzled look on my face.
Yeah.
You know, like, you can't miss me. Walks over, phone in hand, ding dong, plumbing department. He disengaged like the call and fucks off.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, maybe I blend into the scenery. So I go back, I push the button, and this is like after Christmas, like after Boxing Day. The store's basically a ghost town. So bing bong, customer service, again and again and again. Guy comes back, no phone in his hand, doesn't look down the aisle, just bing bong, turns it off. I'm like, fuck you, you're not getting any of my money. In the aisle, I search for the part on Amazon, $7, which is 50% less than what it was anything in the store was showing, and it wasn't even what I needed. Came in 3 days, I have it in my house, and now I have to find the time to make the thing.
You should have Goldberg speared him.
What? How does that relate to what you just said about your train thing on the internet?
That people are dicks.
It's the people.
Yeah.
And the whole thing about the internet is all about the connectivity and everything.
You like that inference? See how I broke that down?
Yeah, like it's, that's the thing. Like, no wonder big box stores are closing to places like Amazon. Like, the thing is if you're a dick, people aren't going to want to deal with you.
Yeah.
It's just the same reason why I don't want to deal with Reddit. I'm not saying that the Reddit gift exchange or
sometimes
things hit the front page and it's like all kinds of greatness and like a charitable stuff. That's out there. I'm not pretending it's not out there. But for what I use the internet for, it's not a net positive experience anymore, except for like shopping and things like that. I went to... the problem I have, the thing I love, and you know this about me, is cookbooks. Mm-hmm. That's my jam.
Yeah.
So whereas you would peruse through Reddit for 7 hours, I would reread the same six cookbooks I've already read. So I have a whole bunch of cookbooks on my wish list that I want to pick up. But the problem is you can't flip through the book to see if it's what you want to buy.
Yeah.
You have to judge a book by its cover, right?
Yeah.
You can't flip through to see if it's like, this is good. So I missed that. So I went into Chapters just yesterday, and I looked up all the books on my Amazon wish list to see if they were in stock. None of like 13 books were in the store except one. I go over and look at it, and I'm like, oh, okay, that's pretty good. I would pick this up. It's on my wish list on Amazon, not on sale, for like $32. What do you think it was in Chapters?
Oh, I don't know.
$68.
Yeah,
bucks.
Anyway.
Get the fuck out of here.
I was going to say, anyway. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Double.
Yeah.
Double. And then I started comparing. I went back to the computer. I'm looking at the Chapters price versus the Amazon price. Some of the things were on sale, so that doesn't count.
Yeah.
Objectively, 25 to 33% cheaper on Amazon. Free shipping, and it comes whenever. Rather than, would you like to order the book to the store? Yeah, I want to come into the store to order the book to the store so I can come back and buy it again. Nah.
Okay, so this plays in perfectly to the next thing I wanted to talk to you about. Have you ever heard of, I don't know what they're called for sure, it's a little dongle, and it's about as big as a USB key, and they make them for all sorts of different products. There'll be one for Tide and one for all sorts of non-perishables.
Okay.
And all sorts of consumables.
Mm-hmm.
So like toilet paper and cat litter and Tide and like all these different consumable non-perishables. When you're out of it, when you're done all your Tide, you need some more, this thing sticks to the front of your washing machine or anywhere. And you press the button, and it's activated over Wi-Fi, goes out to Amazon, buys it, ships it to you, winds up at your front door, cheaper than you can get it in the grocery store.
That's amazing.
Okay.
But they're going to find out about your shopping habits, and then they're going
to
da-da-da.
Okay, that's what I wanted you to say, because add on to that, this is what's going through my mind recently. We've just realized that like we have a little bit more freedom. Maybe not in the sense of time, because we still got to be home and, you know, parenting.
Mm-hmm.
But, for example, after supper, usually after supper, Johnny and I go downstairs and fight. And it's just what happens. We got to fight. You got to get the energy out of him,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so statistically, he has to go either put on a Spider-Man costume or a Batman costume first before he'll fight me.
Yeah.
And so he said he wanted to go put on some Batman shorts. And I was like, okay, well, go put on some Batman shorts then. That just came out of my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't think, oh, I'm going to test him and see if he'll go do it. I guess we're at that point now. He said, yeah. I want to put on some Batman shorts before we go downstairs and wrestle. I said, okay, go put some Batman shorts on. And off the little scamp went and went down his room, found his Batman shorts, put them on, came back out. We were ready to fight.
Mm-hmm.
And I was saying to my wife, whoa. This is different. Like we just had the sudden realization that he can go put his own shorts on.
Mm-hmm.
That's a thing that he can go do now.
Yeah.
And I've also noticed that I'm filtering back into tech and like tech as a hobby.
Mm-hmm.
And so that manifests itself for me and always has through gadgets.
Yep.
Gadgets, home automation, integrations, media servers, that kind of thing.
Yep.
So here's how we're going to tie it to Amazon. This year, there's a number of products coming out. The Google Home, the Microsoft Home Hub, the Amazon Echo. Have you heard of any of these?
I've heard of Amazon Echo, but I've never looked up what it actually is and means.
Okay, so it's a wireless speaker. And it's
I knew that. Yeah, sorry.
Also got a microphone on it.
Okay.
The microphone is always listening.
Oh, great.
And it has the same functionality as Google Now or Hey Siri on your phone. Where
you know what's hilarious? Mm-hmm. Every time Joe Rogan mentions when you say, Hey Siri, people are listening to the podcast in their car. And then when they say, Hey Siri, their phone like kicks into Hey Siri mode.
Okay, Google. And so like, you know how that works, right? And
yeah.
So this thing's always listening. It's empowered by, it's called Alexa, this new AI developed by Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
The Google one is powered by Google Now. Apple's putting one out, but it's probably going to be junk. And
fuck Cortana, by the way.
Okay, hold your horses here.
Okay, okay? But I just want to get that out there. Fuck Cortana.
Okay.
Okay, good.
So, immediately, I am vehemently opposed.
Of course.
To
I'd expect no less from you.
Yeah, any of these devices, because... Okay, so for example, the Google one, you can say, okay, Google, stop listening. And it goes, and I'm like, oh, so the microphone's off now.
And
wow,
it just
that's
goes,
good to know. Yeah.
Okay, wink. Do you have to say wink at the end?
But there's this technologist part of me that's like, I'd like my whole house to be powered by those.
I am more.
How do you reconcile that?
I'm more enticed by you push the button and it auto orders you a thing of Tide.
And so that's what the Alexa can do as well. You can say, Alexa.
I don't want to do that.
Order me more Tide.
No, if I'm saving enough time that all I got to do is press a button and it orders me Tide.
Yeah.
I don't need. It doesn't all of a sudden make walking to the basement and pushing a button a burden for me.
Yeah.
It's like, oh man, I just saved myself 29 minutes. I wish I could save myself another 29 seconds, you know, and just say that. Because that's the thing, like, it's already convenient enough. I don't need it any more convenient than that.
Okay, so I definitely don't come at it from a convenience standpoint. Mm-hmm. I come at it from a...
privacy standpoint.
The part of me that wants it in my house,
yeah.
To use another nut and fancy term, he has this term called the second kind of cool. And the second kind of cool is, I just think it's cool.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if it's functional.
That's what everything I think is. I don't have the first kind of cool. Nothing I think is cool is actually cool, I think.
Okay.
I think that's fair. So the second kind of cool is the first kind of cool for me.
I could very easily power my house by one of these things. And where I'm going with this is we just bought a Sonos wireless speaker.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so cool. Like it is controlled by any device in the house. It can play anything. Mm-hmm. It's got its own internet connection. It's like its own little box. Really, really, really sweet sound for what we paid for it. And I just tried today with Cortana on my laptop, and it works. I didn't even have to set anything up. All I did was open up Cortana and say, play smooth jazz in the kitchen. And you hear that, and it starts, and I was like, oh my God, this is so cool.
Well, and that is cool.
Yeah, it's so cool, but it's something I'm trying to reconcile right now.
Yeah.
Is actively pursuing, like for example, I don't even think I told you this. Did I tell you after we went to your house, the whole kitchen thing?
No.
So after... this would be funny to tell you.
Okay.
So after we went to your house, we got in the car, and I turn over to Amy, and she's like all over. She's buckling Johnny in, and I'm getting the look. I'm getting the, like, eagle eyes coming out of the back seat. She's buckling him in. She gets in the front seat, and I was like, listen, his bathroom is the bomb. Like, I don't know what they did in that room. Like, that's the most grown-up bathroom I've ever been in.
It is a very grown-up bathroom.
It's just
that was all my wife's influence, by the way.
It's well put together. It feels homey. It feels like it's a part of their house, you know?
That's where I poop.
And she was like, I know. Did you see in their kitchen? Like, and she were going through, like, the things in your kitchen.
Oh, my wife would actually listen to a podcast episode. She'll just like, yes.
Man, we went home, and there was such a feeling of this, like, because, like, we go in the back door, and it's like, our kitchen's so crappy. And it spurred this thing with us about we're going to take a swing at maybe not a reno, but a facelift, you know, like we're going to paint the cabinets.
That's all we did.
Yeah.
It was a dog show in that kitchen. It looked like it was from 1983.
Yeah.
And we were forced to do all that. So we're like, okay, if we're going to do it, and we sat on it for, I've been in the house 7 years. We sat on it for 5 years and it needed to be done. But we knew.
That's almost where we're at, 5 years almost. Yeah.
We knew it's like, if we're going to do anything to this kitchen because it needs it so badly, it's going to be a top to bottom. And we kept pushing it back because other stuff was cheaper, quicker.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then it was just like, okay. Because that's where, and I imagine you guys would say the same, other than your basement when you fight with Johnny, because all his toys are down there.
Yeah.
Your kitchen is where you spend the majority of your time.
Yes. Okay. That is a perfect statement.
It is,
because
yeah.
I'm in the process right now of rediscovering the hobby side of tech and my thorough enjoyment of new tech and integrating my media server with the phones, like just doing all the things so that everything runs with itself. I like the cool factor of it.
Yeah.
So we're talking about doing this thing, like retrofitting the island, moving the stove, just doing all this stuff. I'm like, cool. So this is where we meet. This is where we cook and we have our, you know, big discussions. This is where everybody meets. I want to build a command center.
Yeah.
And I want it to be voice activated.
Okay.
And I want, you know, but I'm trying to reconcile the
part
of
me. Hey Siri, cook me some potatoes.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to reconcile the part that I want cool tech. This is what I keep telling everybody. There's no such thing as convenience and security.
No.
But damn it, I want both.
Well, and the thing is, too, is like, yeah, I mean, there's something to be said about, you know, there is something to be said about convenience. And when we did like the privacy episode,
yeah,
and you were saying about like the one thing that was, you know, burning your ass that at that point was, you know, like you clicked on a thing here on one device and then you went on to another device and then all of a sudden you saw an ad for the thing that you were looking at, but you weren't signed in. And it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, you know, if there's a little dongle thing where I press the button when I'm out of Cheerios and it sends me more Cheerios, okay, so they know I have Cheerios.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm fine with that. But if it's like, the thing I don't like is, and I didn't like Cortana because I got a new laptop. It was just an Asus laptop thing. You pointed out what one to get, so I picked it up. And I kept getting these jump ups, these little pop-ups.
Yeah.
I'm in the middle of playing XCOM, and then you could see the box goes to come up,
and then
it alt-tabs my game. And then it's like, I'm Cortana. Ask me anything. No. I'm welcome to
Windows 10.
I'm in the middle of doing something. I don't need you. So I close it and go back to playing my game. And it doesn't do it for the rest of the day. And a couple days later, same thing. All of a sudden, you know, your guy's going to run across the field and it starts to slow down. And you're like, fucking Cortana's about to tell me that she's there for me.
Yeah.
I'm Cortana. Ask me anything. So eventually, after four or five times, I got a little grumpy. So I wrote, how to uninstall Cortana? And it's like, because Cortana is a core software, something like
it's
that.
It's a feature. Thanks, Windows.
It can't be uninstalled. And it's like, I get it. The people, again, and that's like where the internet is designed for a specific type of usage, and it's starting, my needs are starting to drift away from it. It doesn't have to cater to me. But the thing is why can't I turn you off? Why do you, I want to make your life easier. You know what would make my life easier while I'm playing XCOM? Not to minimize my game, to let me know you can look up Backstreet Boys tickets for me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need that. So I get where the convenience is coming from, but I don't like the untailed. I'm not as concerned, and maybe I should be, about the security and the privacy part of it so much as it's like, look how convenient this is. Okay, that's fine. No, look at it. But I don't need it. But look at it.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, now it's annoying, and now I have my backup about it, and I don't want to use it.
Yeah.
Because, one, I don't trust it now. And it's like, don't make yourself annoyed. That's like if every morning I knocked on your door at 4:30 in the morning, say, Bill, you need your grass cut? No, dude, my grass is good. Okay, I'll be back tomorrow to ask you. No, I can tell you right now that, no, I'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then, you need your grass cut? Eventually, yes, you are going to need your grass cut.
Eventually.
But it's like,
bury you on the hill.
Yeah, like, let me come to you, you know? I can look up stuff for you. Yeah, bitch, Google exists.
Yeah.
I don't need you to look in Google for something. I can do that.
Yeah, that's the newest thing for me, is that I'm fighting the internal struggle between I used to have real high-tech stuff in my house before I had a kid, and now I want to get back to that hobby side of tech because I just don't do enough fixing computers as it is.
I want you to make your house like the Starship Enterprise, where you just like, computer. Increased temperature, 3 degrees Celsius.
So,
increasing temperature, 3 degrees Celsius.
First of all, hilarious that you would bring that up, because
you got the Nest.
I have,
what is it called?
Okay, listen.
Okay.
I have a Windows 10 tablet, so it's touchscreen. I have a frame that I'm going to put it in when the kitchen's done, and the theme for Windows 10 is like a Star Trek, like all the real flat buttons and
that's
everything
hilarious.
Like that. Dude, if we got a Nest, I could be like, Cortana. Temperature up 3 degrees, and like it could totally do that.
Earl Grey tea, hot.
But then the U.S. government would know.
Why would it be the U.S. government?
Because they're the only ones that really. I mean, CSIS does a little bit of it, but
Donald
really,
Trump would come to your house and be like, "Bill, I realize that you really like your Earl Grey tea, and you like it hot."
Hey, for realsies though, The EFF took out full-page ads in Wired, New York Times, and everything, asking sysadmins everywhere to delete your logs in 2017 because they fear it's going to be so bad on the privacy spectrum that at least the U.S. government would have to start over from nothing. Instead of getting, like, for instance, on our email server, we have, like, 8 years of logs.
Right and now, they're going to know that you use Tide.
That's right. I don't know, like, and the other thing is, and maybe this is just me convincing myself, you know how easy that is?
Yeah.
Like, I could just, sometimes I get on, like, the, I start to, you know, I'm bouncing all around here, but sometimes I think that, well, maybe it's too late, and maybe,
yeah,
maybe it's more up to me to decide what I do and do not share,
mm-hmm.
Or in when I say share, it's like, if I want to look up something. Perfect example is I want to look up tactical carbine courses and figure out where I can go learn how to shoot an AR-15 really well.
Interesting how Mr. Dungy was looking up this on the internet. And that's the thing, too, is that...
So it's like when I do that, I'll just do it on a detached computer on a VPN because that way I know it's protected.
Yeah. And I don't know what any of those things mean, but it sounds convincing.
You know, so I just...
It's funny the things that...
I don't know.
When we both worry about the internet and stuff like that, you're like, yeah. I mean, what if my search history is searchable and then all of a sudden I need to go on the VPN detached to doop a doop doop? And I'm like, you know what fucking pisses me off? Why does everything have a subscription service? That actually does piss me off. There was a couple things
don't
that
I... Don't buy a Sonos speaker. We bought it and then they were like, guess what? $10 a month if you want to stream music. Or like,
what else does it do?
Yeah.
That's like, yeah, you want this fork? Well, if you want the tines to come down so you can actually pick shit up with it, it's $3 a month per tine.
Yeah. It's going to be so hot that you can't pick it up. Unless you pay for the cooling service.
You have a spoon that just flattens itself out. And you have to pay like $3 a month for it to go concave
it's
again.
It's a tiny spatula.
Jesus. But no, there was like a garden website that I was really, that they do a great job. So here's the thing.
Yeah.
And this is me blessing them with my money, right? So they do a great job. I signed up for like the free trial years ago and I just didn't have the time to do it. So when we're planning on like doing the garden and everything this year, I'm like, you know what? I like these guys make some really good videos. They really have a good, like their software design is awesome.
Yeah.
If that's like $50-$60, I'm going to pay for it. I'm going to buy it. And then so I go and I'm like, I went to see if I could log in with my old credentials. And it's like, your free trial has ended. Click here for payment information. I'm like, you know what? I made up my mind the moment. I don't know how much this thing is. But if it's $50, $60, maybe even $70,
wow.
I'm going to pay for it.
Yep.
Because I'm going to get an extra $70 of yield out of my garden or whatever.
Anyways. Yeah. Yep.
And it's like 1 year subscription. $29, 2 year subscription, $45.
I hear
and
you.
I'm like, I don't need this. And now, and that's the thing. Why?
So
why is it like that?
I can tell you why. Because the model is shifting.
The
model's shifting because A, piracy, like it or not, that's the reason.
And I accept that.
And B, because they're offering, so now it's called SaaS or software as a service.
Yes.
And,
just like if Steam decided to become a monthly paid subscription fee.
Oh, baby, can you imagine?
Could you
imagine? The butt hurt. Can you imagine?
I'd be pissed. I would stop playing video games.
Oh, you'd have to pay it, though.
There was a podcast I loved listening to. I loved listening to this podcast. They were hilarious.
Yeah.
And so they said they'd still do... They were going to start doing 7 shows a week, and 2 of them would remain free. And I would only ever listen to one of them. Now there's going to be 2 for free.
Yeah.
And then there's going to be 5 new shows... But it's a subscription service because they were doing the Kickstarter. I'm like, I'd drop $40, $50 anyways to have unfettered access for as long as you do your podcast because I get that much enjoyment out of it.
Sure.
And then it's like it's a subscription service, and I realized that you know DB has a Patreon thing and for like the Benchcast and stuff like that. See, for that I look at more of like a donation because you don't have to do it.
Yeah.
The podcast is free. Will be free forever. Until next week when we start a subscription service. It'll only be $29.99 a month. But and if you felt like, hey, you know what? I'll drop you a couple bucks so you can do other things. That's cool.
Yeah.
And same thing with that podcast. I'll pay $50 one time to get into the door to listen to this new stuff. And then it's $7.99 a month. And then it's like, oh, $7.99 a month? What if your podcast stops becoming good? Then you can cancel it. I get that. But it's like, That means if it's $7.99 a month and I listen to you, and even if I don't listen to you, it's like a gym membership. You pay it whether you listen or not. That's $85 a year. In 3 years, that's $250.
Yeah.
And what if I'd like...
Wow, you're really fast at math. That would take me 30 minutes.
Yeah, well, like, I'm in the right profession. So it's one of those things where it's just like, as soon as I see a subscription service, and you're right, that's the way a lot more things are going.
They have to.
And it's just like, oh, okay. Well, I don't... And it doesn't mean they're going to miss me, but that means I don't have to... I can opt out of absorbing your stuff anymore.
Yeah.
Like, do you have Apple TV?
I did, but we actually got rid of it because now there's a computer running everything.
There's a really good app, let's call it, on there called TasteMade.
Okay.
And it's just fun. It's awesome to fall asleep to because it's just like those little overhead shots of, and it's like 45 seconds, and they make like, there's one that's just drinks and there's one food.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah.
And then there was a bunch. So after I watched 7 seasons of those things,
you can just roll.
So it's so comfy.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's like, well, there's Taste Made Plus. And I'm like, let's see what this bullshit's all about. Oh, because I wanted to watch a video. And then when you clicked on it, it's like Taste Made Plus. And then it showed you all the stuff it did. And there's like instructional videos. There's like a class and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know what? And I had that moment again where it's like, I want to flush my money down the toilet. If this is, and you just assign in that moment what it's worth.
Sure. Yep.
I'm like, if this is $60 or less, I'll buy it. On the spot, impulse buy. I want this.
Yep.
For $10.99 a month, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
You have what, 37 videos on there? And it doesn't mean they're not good, and it doesn't mean that they can't, they can decide, they can set their price for what they make. But I just find that weird. And I've never owned a business or sold a product, so I can't relate. But if you want people to be engaged with your stuff, and you've got it. I'm hook, line, and sinker. I'm willing to drop $60 sight unseen for your stuff. And then it's like $10 a month for 37 videos?
Well,
I mean, that because TasteMade's been out for years. 37 videos?
The other half of it is, I mean, that's a bad example because there's so little content.
Oh, of course.
But the other half of it is, it also allows you to spend your money on exactly what you want.
And I accept that. I accept that. So just like now it's funny though, that if I were to buy cable, if I were to get cable again.
What a joke.
I'd pay, let's say it was $2 a channel.
Yeah.
I'd get 7 channels I want and I would be subscribed at $15 a month.
Can I guess those 7 channels right now?
Do it.
Home and Garden TV.
No.
Food Network.
Definitely.
History Channel.
Nope.
Really?
Yeah.
How dare you?
I don't give a shit about
Teletoon.
History.
Definitely.
I wouldn't pay
for
it. Our
friendship is riding on the fact that you're going to get television.
I wouldn't pay for it. If it came with it, I would accept it.
What do I got? 3 more?
Yeah.
YTV?
No.
What are you doing with your life?
I don't have a kid.
CTV?
Fuck that. Who cares what's going on in Canada?
Oh my God.
Oh yeah, in Oramacto today, milk was on for $4 for $1.
Number 7 is Channel 8, because that's the French channel, and you'd watch weird stuff like that.
No.
Yeah, you would.
Discovery?
Yeah.
A&E.
I forgot about all those
channels. Food Network. I know.
If you say Spike, we're not friends anymore.
TSN. Oh, but dude, where would I watch Billy the Exterminator?
I don't even know what that is.
It's your Exterminator show. And then basically just the sports things to watch the hockey games.
Yeah.
But that was the thing. You know what made me get rid of cable? Mm. When all the Food Network started going like Cupcake Wars, Banana Wars, Applesauce Wars, Waffle Wars. And it's just like, I don't want everything to be like
cake
competition.
Boss, do you remember that?
And it would be the worst. It's like some asshole would be sitting there making like crepes or something.
We're really stressed about this.
And then all of a sudden you'd hear, oh no! And then the guy would like fumble his spatula and he would go to commercial like, holy fuck, that motherfucker dropped that crepe on the floor? And then it would come back to the commercial and it would replay the hook.
Oh man.
And then all of a sudden he'd like drop his spatula and just pick it up again.
Yeah.
And it's like, what the fuck am I watching? I'm paying money for this every month. So.
All right, you have 3 minutes to tell me what else is new, and then I'm going home to make breakfast.
Okay, actually, so now that I've had so much fun clearing the air on stuff, there's actually something that happened over my holiday that super depressed me, and this would be perfect to end the episode on.
Okay.
I haven't been so fucking sad and forlorn in my life. Like, you know when you experience, like, a loss?
Yep.
You know what I mean? And it's just your body has to accept, no matter how great that thing was, how much you liked it or wanted it, it's gone and it's not coming back and it doesn't, you can't make it okay.
Yeah, happy Wednesday, everybody.
And that's, I had to accept that, as everyone does at some point in their life, but I had to accept that. And that was when I realized that the show Lie to Me only got 3 seasons.
I don't know what that show is.
Oh my God. And it's funny because I used to love House. So when I had cable, I'd watch House. And as soon as House was over, I had to run to work. And Lie to Me would always start. And I'd be like, oh, fuck, Lie to Me starting. I got to get out of here. And so I just picked it up and started watching it on Netflix. I think I've watched a season and a half, like fucking 15, 16, 45-minute episodes in 4.5 days.
Oh, yeah.
It's like 2:30 at night. And it's like I've got like 7 appointments tomorrow. And I'm holding my eyelids open to watch the show. It's like, oh, yeah.
Worth it.
He is showing contempt when he talks about that. It's so good.
What is it?
It's basically this guy, this Cal Lightman dude. It's one of the dudes from Reservoir Dogs, Mr. Pink.
Okay.
And I've seen it before, and it never hooked me. Now it's hooked me. And
what is it?
So basically, he has this firm, and he's like a deception expert.
Okay.
So he can basically, when you tell, tell me that you have a cat named Tony.
I have a cat named Tony.
So what you did there is you blinked when you said it. So when you blinked while you said it, it was a tell, and I know you're lying.
Mm.
And basically, it's like he works with the FBI and everything like that to solve different cases, but uses basically that idea. It's a really well-done show. It's a really well-done show.
You're ramped about it, eh?
It's not as good as South Park.
Team Lie to Me.
It's not as good as South Park. It's funny. I was telling Robbie all about it, and I measured what TV shows were good by putting an 8 and hitting the appropriate number of equal signs before hitting capital D.
Yeah.
So that's how I rated how good TV shows were. I ran out of character limits on the equal signs on Lie to Me. It is so good.
Good. You know what? I'm glad you found something that...
Yeah, I know, but now it's over forever, and it doesn't matter how many times I ask Cortana to bring it back. She won't do it.
Well, Internet.
Well, welcome back to the Benchcast. Oh, you know all those things that bother you? No one gives a shit.
I was actually just telling our dear friend Robbie, first of all, my thanks toward him for getting me another voice acting gig.
Oh, my thanks towards him for getting me on that. Don't you like my voice, Robbie?
And then I was like, hey... You know what I'm going to use that money for? A holster qualification and ammunition. How does that make you feel? And he's like, well, whatever makes you happy, man. And it's like, oh, you're such a homie. Oh, that was good, Wubs. That was good to get back in here.
Wubbed it up.
Yeah.
Let's just keep recording. I think the reason why we're recording for so long is because we both agree and we are aware of how cold it is.
Yeah.
We know the heat, the residual heat in our cars is completely gone.
Yeah, we better stay here until next week.
Yeah. Or until... September.
I'm definitely going home to make 2 white potatoes, 2 eggs, 4 slices of turkey. No. Turkey bacon, which isn't bacon. I can't stand it.
That's why I called it back home.
Yeah.
It's Spanish bacon.
Ah, you got me. And a Dempster's thin bun. It's not even worth it.
Because if you have to eat bread, did you want to eat a sandwich and not enjoy it?
Pretty much.
Dempster's thin bun.
Sicker wraps, eh? Dempster thin bun.
Do you want to be disappointed in the decisions you've made for dinner?
Internet, Dempster's it's 2017. Do something exciting.
Go watch Lie to Me.
Quit lying to yourself.
Yeah, because Cal Lightman could tell.
Even get when after you lie to yourself. Play the division and sell your soul to Google because it doesn't matter anymore.
Did I do anything else exciting? I don't think I did. Amazon's pretty good.
I bought a bunch of new books because I'm still under a spiritual crisis.
Oh, I bought Maynard James Keenan has an autobiography. I got it for Christmas. Reading that shit tonight.
I'm waiting for my books to come in the mail.
I was going to say, you're really digging this.
Yeah, I think I'm going to listen to this on the way home. This is the kind of song that would make me drive obnoxiously fast.
But then stop dead? Like you're scratching, but with your transportation. Sir, we pulled you over for driving erratically. Just trying to match the sound of the song, bro.
Dancing to the rhythm, officer.
Does anybody listen to this anymore?
I don't know. If you do,
thanks.
Have fun with that. Be nice to each other and don't be dicks, okay? Bye.